Good afternoon. Welcome back to Midday on Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Gary Acton. Well, it took another all-night session, this after months and months of discussion. But as you heard on the news, the Minnesota legislature finally reached an agreement on what to do about the state's profile of learning graduation standard. The profile is actually the other half of the state's graduation standard, the one meant to ensure that students have the higher skills needed to prosper in the 21st century. Profile of learning has been under intense criticism, in large part because of the way it's been implemented. Others, though, say the whole show-what-you-know approach to education should be scrapped in favor of a program built around a back-to-the-basics approach. Last year, the legislature failed to make any changes in the profile of learning program, and if no agreement was reached again this year, there was some thought that the entire program would collapse due to a lack of support. But instead, early this morning, Minnesota House voted to modify the profile of learning and drop a proposed alternative called the North Star Standard. So, the profile of learning lives to fight another day, and today on Midday, we're going to take a closer look at how this modified program will actually work in the classroom, and also what the future may hold. So get your questions ready. To begin, though, let's get a report on what actually happened overnight at the legislature. Here's Minnesota Public Radio's Michael Koo.
In a repeat of last week's all-night legislative session, disagreement on how to reform the profile of learning again kept lawmakers working through the night. But this time, the deal held together long enough to pass both houses. Supporters of the bill say it eliminates the controversial performance packages and returns implementation to the local level. The bill's principal feature allows teachers and local school boards to determine the pace for adopting the profile school building by school building. Children, Families, and Learning Commissioner Christine Jack says that should ease concerns about students being trapped in a mess of paperwork and bureaucracy.
The districts can have a hold harmless for their kids if they feel that that's important. Kids can be graded at grade level now. There are a lot of reasons to celebrate because we've got the fixes that people have been asking for, and I think teachers are going to have a big collective sigh of relief when they see what the legislature did.
Jack says Governor Jesse Ventura will sign the bill. In a late-night surprise, however, the competing North Star standard was dropped. As late as midnight, the proposed compromise would have allowed local school districts to choose between the hands-on performance-based profile and the test-oriented back-to-basics North Star. DFLer Larry Pogamiller of Minneapolis was the lead Senate negotiator on reforming the graduation rule. He says North Star supporters tried to reach too far and ultimately were cut out of the deal.
The far right was so eager to destroy high standards that they couldn't even agree to accept an option on their own North Star. Their greed and inability to consider the children of the state got us to this result.
But profile opponents say the proposed choice between the two standards was merely cosmetic. Representative Tony Kilkuski helped author the North Star system. The Lester Prairie Republican says the Senate position that there be a mechanism for comparing the two standards would have held North Star schools captive to profile requirements. Kilkuski says he couldn't swallow that provision.
If I had to go back to the people and told them it was a clean North Star, I couldn't say that and be honest. And I'd rather be honest about what I thought was there, and that's why I did what I did.
Kilkuski says North Star advocates will reconsider their options, and he says the debate isn't over. Even supporters of the final profile bill say it's likely to be reexamined. DASL Republican Bob Ness was the lead House negotiator. He clashed with Kilkuski over including the North Star option, and in the end, he supported adjusting the profile without allowing the North Star choice. But he acknowledges that a scheduled independent review of the profile could reopen the controversy.
I suspect when the external audit comes back and has their recommendations with our standards, the appropriateness of the level of difficulty and all the other things that go with the profile or the assessment of the standards, yes, I think this will be revisited, perhaps on an annual basis.
The external review of the profile is expected to be finished in time for next year's legislative session. At the Capitol, I'm Michael Kuh, Minnesota Public Radio.
Joining us now from Rochester to help explain just how this modified version of the Profile of Learning will work in the classroom, and also to take your questions on this new program, is Judy Schaubach, who is co-president of the State Teachers Union, Education Minnesota. And again, we invite you to join our conversation. Great chance to get your questions answered about the new Profile of Learning program, the modified version. Give us a call here, 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. If you're calling from outside the Twin Cities, you can reach us toll-free at 1-800-242-2828, 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Judy Schaubach, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
It's a pleasure, Gary.
Does this modified version, the changes that have been made to the profile, does it basically address all of the teacher concerns about the profile of learning?
Well, we are very pleased with the outcome, and we think that the bill goes a long way towards addressing the issues that we brought up early in the session. And I believe it is going to make it easier for our teachers to do their job and also provide some flexibility for school districts so that kids aren't caught in the middle during this transition time.
There was a poll taken of Minnesota teachers, and I don't remember what the number was. I know you folks conducted the poll. Was it 95% of the teachers, something like that, wanted the program changed in some substantial way? With these changes, if you were to take that same poll, what do you suppose the results would be now?
Well, I think the results would be considerably different because, as I said, it has addressed many of the issues that were brought up. Our members clearly said that that there needed to be some substantive changes, and by and large, those are being addressed. So now I'm sure we will next year do another survey of our members and see how things are going. As you were just talking about, there will also be an external review of the standards dealing with the rigor of the standards and the clarity of them, and that will be important as well. I think we need to continue to review this and make appropriate changes as needed. But I think the key here is that now school districts have much greater flexibility, and they've also clarified some things related to the performance packages and the assessments that will really help our teachers to implement this.
Okay, well, let's walk through some of the modifications, if you could help us with that. First of all, now the number of standards that students are supposed to meet, 24 is the statewide number, but apparently it can vary now from school to school. Is that right?
That's correct. It allows school sites to vote on the number of standards that they would require, and then it requires the concurrence of the school board. So now each district will make some decisions about how to phase in the content standards based on their local circumstances. So there isn't a rigid schedule. It also, I think, is going to create a situation where teachers and the school board, not just teachers, I should say, it's all licensed personnel at the site. It's not just the teachers. It includes the administrators as well in terms of that vote. But it should create some dialogue about what the appropriate number of standards are, because if there isn't agreement reached, then it defaults to the maximum to what's in the law now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was going to be my other question. You take a vote at the school level and decide, we're ready for 20 as opposed to the 24 right now. And if the school board disagrees with that decision, then what happens?
Then it goes to the 24.
Okay. And let's see. Current 9th and 10th graders, they're going to be essentially exempt from the profile requirements?
Well, it again allows the school district to hold the ninth and tenth this year's ninth and tenth graders harmless, so that they would be excused from meeting some of the content standards in order to graduate. And that was another big concern of ours, because we've had so many dilemmas with the implementation of this, and we were very fearful that students would be sort of in the lurch here, and that they would be the ones that were sort of the victims. And so this again allows some flexibility and allows for districts that have not been able to provide this for their students to exempt those 9th and 10th graders from meeting that full number of standards for graduation.
There has been concern about the grading procedures under the existing profile program. So I understand it now. That's been changed. If a student completes one of the profile requirements, they would be graded at their own grade level as compared to being compared with a 12th grader, right?
That's correct, and that was a very, very big issue. It grouped by grade levels where you had to assess students, and what happened as a result was that there was a great deal of clustering in certain grade levels so that teachers in certain grades were being required to have assessments, huge numbers of assessments, performance assessments for the students. And now it's very clear that the students can be graded in an age and grade appropriate way, not asking them to be graded at a level higher than where they currently are. So that's something that needed an actual change in the law. That needed to be repealed. That was one of those things that wasn't just an implementation problem, but actually needed to be changed, and that was taken care of. I think uniformly people thought that this needed to be taken out, so we're, again, very happy about that and think that that's going to make a big difference in terms of evening out where those standards are being assessed.
Mm-hmm. And then what about the 1-4 grading system that's used? Teachers were complaining, as I understand it, that essentially they had to give everybody two grades. There was one for the profile, this 1-4 business, and then a separate grade for what the kids did in the more traditional classroom work. Is that right?
Right. And at least there was some confusion about that. I think some districts had sorted that out. There's really two things that happened here. One, it allows teachers to assign a score of 0 to incomplete student work on a standard. So if a student doesn't complete it, they can get a 0, which indicates that they haven't completed the work. And secondly, the assessment of the content standard must be included as part of the student's grade for a subject or course, so that we're not looking at a grade that the assessment of the standard needs to really be embedded in that course and not seen as a separate thing.
Okay. The students taking the advanced classes, they can get waivers if it interferes now, if the profile requirements interfere with those classes. Is that
correct?
That's
correct. There was a great deal of concern about our students that were taking advanced placement or international baccalaureate courses or sometimes the post-secondary options, a class where that's taken at one of the local colleges. So there is, again, some flexibility, and this can be waived for those students if the course is considered to have equal or higher rigor.
And finally, before we get to some callers here, one other thing, Judy Schaubach, performance packages. Now, again, remind us, first of all, what is a performance package?
Well, performance package was a method used to assess the student achievement of a content standard. So it was multiple things that a student did that would demonstrate that they were able to achieve what needed to be achieved to complete that standard.
Mm-hmm.
And initially there was a great deal of confusion about this because there had been some state-developed performance packages that frankly were unworkable in many situations. And oftentimes, while local teachers were being told that they could develop their own performance packages, there really wasn't the time or the opportunity to meet with colleagues to do this. So it created a huge amount of frustration. And even with students that were being required to do some of these performance packages that in some cases made no sense, quite frankly. So now it's very, very clear in the bill that state and local performance packages are not required, that districts can choose their own method of assessing students' work. And I think that that will also help a great deal. And, people are now going to need some time to sort of assess what this means and how to make appropriate changes so that they're ready for next fall.
Judy Schaubach has joined us, co-president of Education Minnesota, the State Teachers Union. She's on the line from Rochester, and she's been good enough to join us this afternoon to give us an idea of just how the profile of learning graduation standard has been changed. The legislature met all night last night. Early this morning, the Minnesota House finally voted to approve some changes to the way the program has, the profile of learning program has been implemented in the state, this in the face of long-running criticism and controversy over the program. And so Judy Schaubach has joined us today to find to help us understand how this is going to work in the classrooms of Minnesota. If you'd like to join our conversation, if you've got a question, give us a call, 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000, outside the Twin Cities, 1-800-242-2828, 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. I suppose we should mention once again, reiterate, that we're no longer talking theoretical here, Judy Schaubach. The governor apparently will sign the bill, so this is what's going to happen in the classroom now, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Bob, your question, please?
Yes. I'd like to clarify in my mind. It seems to me that the legislature is too involved in the nitty-gritty, where it seems like there should be more qualified educators. In other words, why is the legislature using so much time, and why has it gotten so political? To me, that's from where I sit, that's the main part of the problem, is the fact that it's all wrapped around the axle down there in the legislature.
Judy Schaubach, your analysis of that?
Well, I think everyone shares in some amount of frustration about how this gets tied up in politics, but that's the system we have. I'm very encouraged that at the end, people were able to put the politics aside and get a bill passed that gives some ownership back to the local school districts to figure out how to do this in an appropriate way. Last year, we left the legislature without any of the changes that we had asked for, and that created a huge amount of frustration. And this year, of course, it's very, very late in the session. But again, in the end, we're pleased that at least it seems for now that politics were put aside and that people took seriously that they had to give some relief to teachers and students so that we could move on and continue to have a single set of statewide standards, but allow the flexibility in terms of how this is going to be done to the people closest to doing this.
One of the things that we've heard repeatedly is the huge paperwork burden that was imposed by this profile of learning. Has that problem been resolved now with this modified version?
Well, I think some of it certainly will be reduced. We still need to address the issue of having the appropriate technology in place. The bill does address that. It asks that a review be done, because unless teachers have access to technology and record keeping right at their site, in their classroom, this is very, very difficult to do. And unless districts have a system in place where they can transfer information quickly, as students are very mobile in our society, this continues to be an issue. There is some funding for technology. There are now some programs, some software in place that's available that districts can use. And so I think we're going to have to address that very seriously, work with the Department of Children, Families, and Learning and with our school districts to make sure that we get that software in place and that teachers have access to that technology directly, or this will continue to be an issue. So that's something that I think we still need to work on. But I think these other changes will help us to eliminate some of that paperwork.
Mm-hmm. John, your question, please.
My question is what the new rule law says about assessment. Since teachers and districts could adopt their own local performance packages always, how are things changing with regard to assessing student work?
Jenny?
Well, I think while they could develop their own assessments, there was a great deal of confusion about whether or not districts could require these state performance packages. And I think part of this is, frankly, clarification. And hopefully now we will also have time as well as some examples that teachers can use. One of the things that is also addressed in the bill is a high standards tool library, and that would be an interactive tool library that's on the Internet that offers teachers examples of tools to assess students' achievement of standards. And it requires the commissioner to get that up and running and to maintain it. That will also help a great deal because in some cases you're in a school district where you may be the only person teaching a particular subject area. We have to be able to link up people and to share information and ideas about how to make this workable. So I think that coupled with the tool library and a clear statement that districts can't mandate these particular performance assessments, we will be able to address this issue.
Mm-hmm. Cindy, your question, please.
Hi. I think that the standards should have been tested first and not just put into place, like with the new math, the IMP math. They kind of tested it first and they give kids a choice, but with these standards, they just kind of implemented it all at once. And my second comment is that I think that this is so much work that teachers need to be paid for all the extra work that they're doing to implement this.
Okay. Well, let's take those in reverse order. Judy Shawbuck, I don't imagine you would argue with the premise that teachers should be paid more. But I'm wondering now, that is another complaint that we've heard a lot about. Is there anything in this bill or the K-12 bill that also passed the legislature that gives teachers more time to actually implement this program?
Well, there are a couple of things that happened. One, if you remember, a couple of years ago, there was a law passed that we had to add 3 days of student contact onto the school year. And what happened was that, by and large, school districts ended up then giving up 3 days of professional development time when they sorely needed it. In this bill, they have given school districts the flexibility to convert that back to staff development time, and I think that that is a very, very important issue. Our members have talked to us about continually that there just isn't enough time to do all of these things. So that change, being able to convert those 3 days to staff development, is a very important thing. Secondly, in the bill that was passed previously and already signed by the governor, I believe, we have another additional amount of money for staff development, another 1%. So that money could be used to pay people to come back sometime during the summer or for additional days to work on these issues of implementation. So I think there are a couple of ways that this has been addressed, but time continues to be a huge issue. I couldn't agree with the caller more in terms of we need to find ways to compensate our teachers and to give them the time to do this.
The one thing that didn't change, and that our caller Cindy sort of alluded to, the one thing that wasn't changed was the underlying theory of the profile of learning, the notion that kids should be able to demonstrate what they've actually learned. Is there any disagreement among Minnesota teachers on that part of the issue? Of course, that seemed to be at the crux of the debate at the Capitol, that the program itself, beyond its implementation woes, was fundamentally flawed. It was just a bad education program. What do Minnesota teachers think about that?
Well, I think teachers don't want to rely on a single test to determine how students are doing. It's important to have a system in place where we are asking students to demonstrate knowledge. That isn't something brand new. I think it's something that is easy to understand if you're in music, perhaps, or in industrial arts. I mean, we do various things to demonstrate that we know the content. That's just translated into all subject areas now. And what we have to do is make sure that that kind of assessment, the multiple assessment where people demonstrate that they understand the information that they're learning, is done in an appropriate way, not in a way that creates huge amounts of extra work that's not even seen as relevant to what our students are doing. And I think that was part of the problem with some of the performance assessments. They were seen as just something extra, almost busy work, rather than really relating to what students were learning. But I think, by and large, people understand that a single test
doesn't tell you everything you need to know. There needs to be some professional judgment. There needs to be the ability for students to demonstrate that they have acquired the information and they know how to apply it. In the world that we live in that's changing so rapidly, where the facts as we know them change from day to day, we have to teach our young people how to use the information that they have, how to apply it if they're going to be successful in the kind of world that they're going to go into.
Mm-hmm. Judy Schaubach is with us. She's co-president of the State Teachers Union Education Minnesota, and she's joined us this afternoon to give us an idea of just how this modified profile of learning program will actually be working in the classroom in Minnesota. Legislature has passed some modifications to the profile of learning program. The governor will sign those changes into law. So after a long, long, long debate over how this program should be changed, whether the program should be scrapped altogether, whether there should be an alternative, decisions have finally been made. There will be no alternative to the profile of learning, at least not for the next year, but the profile itself will be modified. Judy Schaubach is here to explain just how these changes will work themselves out in the classroom. And if you'd like to call in with a question, get some clarification on an issue, give us a call. 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000, outside the Twin Cities, 1-800-242-2828. We'll get to some more callers here in just a couple of minutes. Right now, news headlines. Here's Greta Cunningham. Greta?
Good afternoon, Gary. Angel Matorio Resendez has been convicted in one of the 9 railroad killer slayings. He's accused of killing the victims as he rode freight trains across the country. Now the same Houston jury must decide if he gets the death penalty. Despite a veto threat, the New Hampshire legislature is the first in the nation to repeal capital punishment. The margin of today's Senate vote is not enough to override a veto. Death penalty opponents plan a nonstop vigil in hopes of changing the governor's mind. The chairman of the powerful Federal Reserve is on record in support of the China trade deal. Alan Greenspan stood with President Clinton in the White House Rose Garden today to urge congressional approval. He says the deal is important to the long-term health of the U.S. economy. Interior Secretary Bruce Babbitt is traveling to Los Alamos, New Mexico today to see the fire damage and to talk to residents. Babbitt will be explaining to residents how the fire that was set by park officials roared out of control, leaving hundreds homeless. The report Babbitt is releasing today is expected to indicate whether officials knew about weather warnings prior to the controlled burn. The wildfire is 60% contained, and officials say the cooler weather and favorable winds in the forecast should offer more help for firefighters. In regional news, Hormel Foods says its earnings in the latest quarter rose almost 14% to $36 million compared to the same period last year. Total sales for the latest 3 months amounted to $879 million, up 11% from a year ago. The company said the improved performance was especially noteworthy because sales figures in the first part of the year were held down by leftover Y2K factors. That's because stores late last year had stocked up on Spam and other Hormel canned meat products on the expectation of hoarding by worried customers. The forecast for the state of Minnesota today has a frost advisory in effect for the Northeast tonight. Showers and some thunderstorms are likely in the south today. Partly cloudy skies in central and northern Minnesota. It will be cool statewide today with high temperatures ranging from 55 to 65 degrees. Tonight, clearing and cold with lows ranging from 20 in the north to 40 in the south. At this hour, St. Cloud reports mostly clear skies and 54. Skies are overcast in Rochester and 50. Fair skies in Duluth and 48. In the Twin Cities, cloudy skies, a temperature of 53. Gary, that's a look at the latest news.
Thanks, Greta. 25 minutes before 1 o'clock, midday, coming to you on Minnesota Public Radio. And this hour, we are taking a look at the big education bill that was passed by the Minnesota legislature early this morning. It will be signed into law by the governor. And what it essentially does is make some changes to the existing profile of learning program, the higher skills half of the state's graduation standard. The program had come in for intense criticism. Many of the criticisms focused on how the program has been implemented. Others, though, suggest the entire program should have been scrapped. It's not going to be scrapped. It has been changed. There was a proposal before the legislature to offer school districts an alternative called the North Star Standard, more of a back-to-the-basics kind of a program. but ultimately that came up short. Judy Schaubach has joined us, co-president of the State Teachers Union, Education Minnesota, to help explain how this modified profile program will work in the classroom. Joining us now is Renee Doyle, who is president of the Maple River Education Coalition, which was pushing for the North Star standard. Good afternoon, Ms. Doyle.
Good afternoon.
Get a little sleep, I hope.
I got about 2 hours. It's a long drive from the Capitol for me.
Did you folks reach too far? Senator Pogemiller said that you had a chance for a compromise situation here, which would have offered school districts an alternative. They could have picked the profile or the North Star standard. And you pushed too hard and ultimately didn't get anything.
Well, he's really quite right in his assessment that we were, you know, offered an alternative. But the alternative wasn't, we would have just let the people down that had been supporting and working for this for almost 2 years if we would have taken what was on the table. And the system that we're trying to get out from underneath is this assessment system, you know, performance-based assessments, which, is the, as the commissioner admits, are the heart and soul of the profile of learning. So we didn't want to be part of the assessment system. So we didn't want to have to do with performance-based packages, of course, unless a teacher wants to use a performance-based assessment. They've been doing some of that all along, but they wouldn't be required. And we wanted to be out from under this whole idea of everything has to be performance-based. And so we tried to get out from underneath the Minnesota Comprehensive Assessment System. And those are basically profile of learning benchmarking tests. They take a look at the district and see how they're doing in their system implementation of the profile of learning. We were not able, with the language that they were going to give us, to be able to come out from underneath that entire system. And so, you know, we persisted, and it was the only thing that we were asking for, the clean firewall between the profile of learning and the North Star standard, and we could not get that. So we felt that rather than deliver something to the people that was not what they thought they were going to get and put ourselves under the very system we're trying to get out from underneath, we don't want to have two systems next year that we want to try to fix.
Okay.
So it just had to be a fair thing. It was a judgment call, and this is, you know, we will proceed, but we absolutely aren't going to give some people something that they thought it wasn't.
Are you satisfied with the changes that have been made to the profile of learning program?
Well, you know, we didn't really get involved at all in the negotiations or anything on the profile of learning. But no, I mean, my children are all in districts, you know, that implement the profile learning. So I'm real unhappy with those. I think that the ambiguity under the profile of learning has reached a new level, and I think it's really open now with the language to interpretation of many different things. They maintain that you can use a different scoring system, AF, but it doesn't say that anywhere. What it does say is that what you use must meet the criteria of the commissioner's definition of a rubric. So it means you have to review the rubric ultimately. And the performance-based assessments are not gone. That's the word packages or any references to packages are gone, but not the references in the statute that says you must use a performance-based assessment to assess a content standard. So I think it's going to be even more confusing for teachers this year to determine just exactly what am I supposed to do, and am I within the guidelines of the law? And now it's not just rule, it's in statute. So it's not even subject really. I don't know how they're going to interpret.
Right. What's wrong with the idea of having students demonstrate that they actually have learned something?
I don't think that we ever quit doing that. I think we've been doing that all along. The problem that we have is that we don't think that should be the only way to assess a content standard, and under the profile of learning, that's the only way you can assess a content standard.
Mm-hmm. I imagine you will be pushing for a change in direction next year again at the legislature?
I'm sure we will, and I think that, you know, the people came 360 degrees. They started out wanting an elimination of the profile, and they said, oh, you got to compromise. And if you're gonna do that, then bring us back something to put in its place. So we did that, and so the very thing that, you know, they asked for, it just didn't happen this year. We didn't get that clean break, even as an alternative. So I believe that with the profile moving forward And with the ambiguity in the language that just is poorly written language in law, I believe that it will implode, and I think the North Star Standard will be the only option next year.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Good talking with you. Renee Doyle, who is president of the Maple River Education Coalition. Judy Schaubach, would you agree that this, despite efforts to modify the profile, that it's still so ambiguous that teachers aren't going to know what's going on, they're going to be more confused than ever, and that, in fact, the profile of learning program could still collapse under its own weight?
Well, we hope that these changes will help. I think that they will. It's going to, I think the fact that we got this far with all of the confusion and ambiguity has made it very difficult. If we had made many of these changes a year ago, we wouldn't be in the state that we're in right now. And, you know, I think that more and more districts have made progress, have tried to find a common sense approach to this. But there are still districts that have a long ways to go, and I think having some staff development time, having some way to share information from district to district in terms of how some districts have been able to make this work is very, very important. So, you know, our students deserve to have clarity, parents deserve to have clarity in what's expected, and we're going to work very hard with our teachers to and with the department to try to do that so that we have a system that is understandable, that is clear, that offers students the opportunity to meet high standards and that assesses them in multiple ways where we're not dependent on just tests. I mean, clearly tests, people use tests, but they use other kinds of methods of assessment as well. So we're going to work very hard because we want a system that is workable.
Has the basic language used in the profile of learning been tidied up, describing the various content and learning areas and all of that? Some of it was to an outsider. I suppose it means something to educators, but to an outsider or a parent, nearly impossible to understand.
Well, some of it has been, but we have more work to do. I think that that's why it's important to do this outside assessment as well. And we're going to be anxious to see what the organization reports in terms of their evaluation because we need to tighten things up and make them clear. We have to have an ongoing process of assessing where we're at. I think as one of the earlier callers said, you know, we kind of implemented this before everybody was ready instead of phasing it in. And I think that's caused a lot of problems. But we also found out in doing this that there were some structural problems, and we will continue to modify it. The thing is, we can't modify it so dramatically that people feel like they have to start all over again. We have to listen to what the practitioners are saying and make modifications that are appropriate, but do it in a way that we're not throwing out everything that we've done and telling people to start all over again. I think that's what creates a lot of frustration with teachers because they just get something going. As we know, you know, anything new takes a lot of time to really integrate and to modify. And if the feeling is that, well, next legislative session we start with something brand new, that creates a lot of frustration with our members. And even as we got this close to the end of the session, not knowing what the outcome would be, it was very frustrating for people.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have our work cut out for us, and we're going to continue to try to make this work for everybody.
Al, your question, please.
Well, more of a quick comment, I guess. I'm all for the goals. I am for the profile in some way. I'm not exactly certain of all the details of how it works, but I remember going through school, and I did all right, but I skated a lot, and you hear in the news a lot about the kids who can't even, you know, third grade level, getting out in 11th or 12th grade and can't do diddly. I mean, it's not the majority, I know, but there's a number of them. So I'm definitely for something if it's a profile. You know, I like to show what you know. I definitely do. One comment, though, I do have about the comment that the gal before mentioned that there's 3 days of legislated to have more FaceTime with the kids. Well, I'm here in Eden Prairie, and when that was legislated, we went from supposedly having 3 more days of FaceTime to 5 half-days of school for teacher development, apparently, or whatever it was added to the year. So we ended up losing a half a day. And I'm sympathetic for teachers. I respect them a lot. One thing that, you know, they talk about this teacher salaries and such, but one thing that seems to never get brought up is the fact that, quote unquote, technically, they work 9 months of the year. You know, we make X number of dollars a year. Yes, but I work 12 months of the year, you work nine. So that's got to be brought up, but I don't want to make enemies of the teachers because I respect them greatly.
Right, and I don't want to get off on that in that area today. That's another whole program. But should that be part, Judy Schaubach, of a larger discussion beyond just the profile? Maybe we should move to a longer school year, school day, and the rest?
Well, certainly we've talked about the need to find ways to provide paid professional development time for teachers without taking away from student contact time. And that probably means changing the school year somewhat. We think of professional development sort of as something, it's an add-on. And most businesses understand that they have to invest in training and retraining their employees if they're going to continue to be successful because there are so many changes that occur. And in education, we haven't really done that. We haven't recognized the need for ongoing quality professional development and given people the time and paid them to do it. So I think that is a question that we all have to wrestle with as we look forward to the future of education, because as we are looking at this huge turnover of teachers, you know, with 40% of our teaching force leaving in the next 10 years, we're going to have a huge need to upgrade the skills of teachers entering the profession. And that's going to be an investment of time and money in order to assure that they are of the very highest quality that we would expect.
Judy Schaubach is with us, co-president of Education Minnesota, the State Teachers Union. She's joined us this hour to help us understand how this modified profile of learning program that was approved by the legislature early this morning and is going to be signed into law by the governor, how this modified profile of learning program will actually play out in the classroom. So a great opportunity to get some clarification if there are questions in your mind. 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Claudia, go ahead, please.
I'm calling for a point of clarification. My children are in the Stillwater School District, and as you'll be aware, that district has worked very hard at implementing the standards. My daughter, who's a 10th grader, has had to sacrifice taking some courses that she's very interested in order to meet all the standards. And as a parent, I wonder now, will our children have the flexibility to maybe not meet every single standard, maybe drop one or two in order to take something they're really interested in?
Thank you for your question. I think this does provide more flexibility in doing that. As you mentioned, there have been a lot of parents and students that have been concerned about how meeting the standards has reduced the number of opportunities they've had for electives. And I think that this gives school districts the flexibility to deal with that, both for whole groups of students as well as for individual students.
Okay. Pat, you're next.
Yes, I'm wondering how districts will be held accountable for assessing students in the rigorous manner that I think is suggested by the profile of learning.
Let's see, how school districts will be held accountable. The
students still have to, they don't have the performance packages anymore, so how will that work?
They have to have assessments, though. They will be assessed, and they will have to be assessed to a high standard. Part of this is developing examples of what we mean by reaching that highest standard.
Will the state have to put its imprimatur on whatever school districts decide is equates to meeting the high standard?
They will in regard to, I think it's, you know, it's a little bit like what we have now. There's obviously a great difference in the way districts do their assessments now. What we're trying to do is find more uniformity in terms of meeting a standard so that if you meet that standard, regardless of what district you're in, you have an equal rigor that you're demanding. Now, that's difficult to get to, but the department is, again, part of this tool library is to have examples of lesson plans and best practices and examples of exemplar work so that people can develop an understanding of what level of rigor is required. And maybe this is a good, I'm not sure I can answer exactly how the department is going to develop a method for assessing how districts are doing. Perhaps Christine Jacks can answer that better than I can. I'm not sure that I can adequately answer your question, quite frankly.
Well, that's something we'll pursue at another time. But let me ask you this kind of related question, I guess. One of the reasons for moving to this graduation standard, not only the profile, but the basic skills, too, was that everybody's diploma was supposed to mean the same thing. And if some school districts have their require their students, say, to meet, well, I don't know, 20 of these standards, another one, the full 24, doesn't that kind of undermine the idea that all diplomas are the same?
Each district has to submit a plan for how they will eventually get to requiring the full 24. But it's acknowledging that districts are at different places, and we can't get there overnight yet, like we've been trying to do. We have to allow a period of phasing this in so that students aren't really sort of caught in the middle. So I think that as this phases in, we will get much closer to that point where, again, people have not only demonstrated equivalent work when they graduate, but that they have equal opportunity. Another big piece of this is to ensure that all school districts, regardless of where they are, offer equal opportunities for students to achieve at high levels, to have access to rigorous coursework. So there's really two parts to this. One is that students have to demonstrate equivalent work so that everybody that graduates from a high school in Minnesota has certain skills and abilities that they can demonstrate. And secondly, that regardless of where a student goes, they have equal opportunities to achieve at a high level.
Mm-hmm. Patrick, your question?
Yes, it's more of an observation. I've attended a lot of meetings over the last few months regarding the profiles. Excuse me. And my understanding is that this entire process began about 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago, and it's taken this long to reach the point where the legislature and the teachers' union have been able to come together and come to some kind of agreement. Now, it sounds like the modifications that have been made are probably much better than what had been planned before, at least from my perspective. But I guess what I find frustrating as a citizen in the state when I am sort of standing on the outside observing this is when I realize that this has been going on for this long of a time, why did it take 10 years to come to the point where we had to almost come to like a crisis point and then have an all-night session and make modifications or remodifications to come to where we are right now?
Again, a subject for a whole program as to how we got to this point. Well, let me rephrase, Judy Schaubach, let me rephrase his question a little bit looking forward. Can we expect continuing controversy over and efforts to change the profile of learning in the future?
Well, hopefully these changes, along with this external review that we're going to do, will help to make the changes that we need to make where it isn't a system that is ready to crash and burn. I can certainly agree with the caller that we've, I think, all been frustrated. But any new system takes time to get in place. And frankly, for many years, we were going through having a new commissioner every year or less. A lot of changes, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of mixed messages in terms of what was expected and what wasn't expected. And I think everybody in the system has been extremely frustrated. Hopefully now we're talking the same language. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we've identified what our members say need to be changed. Most of these things, as I said, have been addressed. And if we can continue to listen to the people that are directly having to do this, we will be much better served.
Now, in terms of this outside audit that's being worked on, I guess the results will be coming out, well, in a few months. Does that carry with it, I guess for the lack of a better term, the force of law? That is to say, if the outside evaluators decide that, boy, this is this part of the program is just bad and needs to be changed, does the program automatically have to be changed, or will their opinions simply add more fuel to the ongoing debate?
Well, it doesn't have the force and effect of law. What it will do is it will be a vehicle that a committee, there will be a committee that actually looks at what is reported from this outside group and makes appropriate recommendations. It is important that people feel that the content standard is clear and that we are actually requiring rigor in our standards. So I think that people will take this seriously, but what this group does, as I've seen their other reports, is that they really look at each section of it and make appropriate recommendations. And I think that's very helpful for all of us to have an external group that's looked at other state standards, as well as international standards, I might add, to determine whether or not this really has the kind of clarity and rigor that it needs. The law does outline the kinds of things that this group is to look at, and I think that was an important clarification, too. So we don't get a report from this external group that isn't real useful. I think the clarity in the law in terms of what kinds of things need to be evaluated will be helpful.
Do you suppose this profile of learning is going to end up as a campaign issue this year?
Well, you know, most anything can end up as a campaign issue. So I'm not out running, so we'll see if it does or not. I think it continues to be obviously an issue. Hopefully these changes will help minimize that. I think it, you know, our public education system is very important. Hopefully it doesn't get to be just a political issue. This should be an issue that all citizens are concerned about, but that we don't politicize, that we really try to find what's in the best interest of our students.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today and helping us walk through the changes and what they'll mean for the classrooms in Minnesota in the coming year. Thank you very much. My pleasure. Thank you. Judy Schaubach, who is co-president of the State Teachers Union Education Minnesota, joining us today to talk about the modifications that have been made to the state's Profile of Learning program. Again, the Minnesota legislature passed those modifications in an all-night session last night. The governor's office has already indicated that he will sign that legislation into law. So it's the debate is over for now. The profile of learning has survived. It will be modified. There will be no alternative, the so-called North Star standard, but the program has been changed. Thanks for tuning in today. Gary Acton here. Hope you can join us for Main Street tomorrow.
Programming on NPR is supported by 9 News at 10, featuring 10 at 10. Complete news and weather forecast in the first 10 minutes. 9 News, it's about you.
Talk of the Nation coming up right after the news.
On the next All Things Considered, a look at some of the preparations in place in case predictions for a massive Boundary Waters fire come true. It's All Things Considered, weekdays at 3 on Minnesota Public Radio.
You're listening to Minnesota Public Radio. And you're tuned to KNOW FM 91.1, Minneapolis and St. Paul. Currently in the Twin Cities, we have overcast conditions, 53 degrees. The weather forecast for the rest of this afternoon, cool and windy with light rain coming to an end. Clear and cool tonight with a low 35 to 40. Sunny and warmer tomorrow.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Juan Williams, and this is Talk of the Nation. Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan announced his support today for the most hotly contested bill in Congress.